And welcome to Christ Today. This is another of our weekly shows. This is Mike Davis, and today I'm with Mr. Les Sanders. And Les, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself real quick? As soon as you've introduced yourself, we're going to go ahead and pray.
Thank you, Mike, for inviting me. My name is Les Sanders. I'm from Marysville, California, and I teach aviation at the CORE STEM Academy. CORE is a Camptonville Academy is a charter school, and we in the last 2 years we have formed a STEM Academy, which focuses primarily on math, science, engineering, technology, and aviation. So in addition to that, I have been a flight instructor for a lot of years down in the Yuba County airport area. And I'm also the chairman of the board of Northern California Aerospace Initiative, NCAI. And the purpose of NCAI, the reason it was formed, is to develop a pathway, if you will, for young men and women to find a place in aviation. There's a shortage of aviation personnel, pilots, and air traffic controllers, and so forth. So the purpose of NCAI is to provide a pathway for these young folks through the CORE Camptonville STEM Academy and NCAI to pursue that career.
Okay. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share with our listeners, Lord, the technologies that are springing up around us. And Father God, the opportunities for the Christian kids and grandkids in this area, the opportunities for the Christian population here. And Father God, we do pray, Lord, that you would bless and minister to us as we minister to our listeners. Lord, we pray that you would help us to cast off any distractions, and Lord, to honor and glorify and worship you with our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our conversation. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our ears to hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, Les, thank you for joining us today. Tell us about how important aviation is right now to the economy and what an opportunity it is for the Christian community.
Aviation at this point in time is extremely important because there is a worldwide shortage of pilots. There's a number of reasons for that. A lot of the current pilot population is reaching retirement age, and there's less and less young folks entering into the aviation field. The other contributor to the shortage is the military. The military is training far less pilots than they used to a few years ago, and the airlines in the past has drawn from retired or active duty military personnel to fill their need for pilots, and that has, you know, diminished. So that's the two main reasons why we're really focusing on providing a pathway and trying to interest young men and women to get involved in aviation.
Well, absolutely. And myself, you know, in my day job, I work for Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. So we are part of this pathway that the NCAI has built. And it's so important that people realize that, especially with the impact of now the unmanned aerial systems that are coming into play now, we have even less people that are going through the expense of getting a commercial license. And that's the real hurdle right there for that stopped many people, is the expense of the training. And plus the regional airlines, to be a regional first officer, you have to have right now a bachelor's degree and 1,500 hours. That's a lot of expense. What is the normal cost of getting a commercial license right now?
Right now, it obviously varies depending on individual and where you get your training and so forth. But to get a private pilot's license, which is the first step in your career of aviation as a pilot, is usually now somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 just for the private. Another $5,000 to $7,000 for the commercial, another $8,000 for the instrument rating, another $5,000 for multi-engine, and on. So, you know, the minimum right now to even be competitive in the aviation field as a pilot would take, just to get your ratings, is somewhere in the area of $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. It's very, very expensive.
Okay, so talk about the NCAI, the pathway, and why it's so important to start in the high schools rather than start after somebody is in community college.
The NCAI, as we mentioned earlier, was formed to provide a pathway for these young men and women in conjunction with other businesses like Emory-Riddle University, which is one of our partners in the NCAI. And it's important to get these young folks. We have started offering at Camptonville Academy aviation courses into the 7th and 8th graders, starting at the very young age, to get them interested and get them training in the aviation field. The purpose of NCAI, why we formed this in conjunction with CORE, was to provide this pathway and to provide financial assistance through donations from individuals and corporations to provide scholarships for these young men and women to pursue their career in aviation and help offset some of that tremendous cost to get all their ratings and stuff so they can be competitive in the aviation field.
So talk a little bit about the Pathways Grant that Camptonville just received last year.
The state of California offered up a grant for primarily STEM Academy schools that would, the schools could apply for that grant, and we were fortunate to be awarded a segment of that grant. The original grant for the whole state was $5 million or something like that. I don't remember the exact amount, but it was a considerable amount, and we were fortunate enough to get part of that grant. So that helps the school to offer more and more in-depth aviation curriculum for these young men and women.
So starting this fall, correct me if I'm wrong, starting this fall, Camptonville Academy at Marysville will start to host students from other high schools throughout the area and other charter schools when they want to go ahead and go to STEM classes. If they want to go ahead and start leaning toward aviation as a career, then they can come to the Camptonville Academy at Marysville and take those aviation-flavored classes.
That's right, Mike. We are offering these aviation classes through the Tri-Counties ROP, Regional Occupational Program. And these students from other high schools, charter schools, are welcome to come and join our aviation training program in addition to their normal high school studies. This would be after their day of classes, and they could come and take aviation classes at our school. So I think it's a great opportunity for not only for Camptonville students, but for other students who has an interest or a desire to become involved in the aviation community.
Well, and I want our listeners to understand the day and the time that we are living in, okay, where technology really is ruling. I mean, we have Amazon that wants to start delivering packages using UAS technologies. Okay, the FAA is now just beginning to come forward with their rules of engagement for if you want to get involved in commercial flight training with unmanned aerial systems under, I guess the limit right now is under 55 pounds, that there are now restrictions that they have defined and a certain amount of training as well as testing that you must accomplish in the UAS type of world. So aviation is here to stay. It's not going away. And Boeing already has a 20-year forecast that says worldwide in the next 20 years we're going to need over 550,000 commercial pilots and over 600,000 airframe and power plant technicians. So aviation is going to be a very, very broad career for anybody that's involved. And it's going to be very lucrative career, too, because almost everybody wants to find out how they can use UAS technologies and commercial air travel to add to the productivity of their own companies. So speak a little bit about the commercial use of UAS technologies right now.
We know just in the last few years, the last two or three years, the evolution of UAS technology, unmanned aerial systems, and Mike mentioned Amazon delivering your packages by UAS machines. So the field that the technology that has developed in the last couple of years is tremendous, and it's just expanding day by day. Just in the last few days actually, the FAA published FAR Part 107, which sets out the rules and regulations and requirements for folks to operate those unmanned aerial systems so that we can do it safely, we don't interfere with air traffic, and these things can be used for a wide variety of applications, search and rescue, agriculture. There's just an unlimited number of areas that UAS technology can be utilized, and that is one of the things that we offer at Hamptonville in the 7th and 8th grade students and then up through the high school is education in UAS technology.
Now, you guys just went to San Diego for a competition, UAS competition. How did that work out?
That was excellent. The students built, there was four teams, six members on each team, and they built a quadcopter, unmanned aerial vehicle, and we went to San Diego for a regional competition down very near SeaWorld, and the purpose of it was a search and rescue mission where there was certain items laid out in a field, and these young folks would fly their UAS quadcopter, and they would find these items to represent someone who was lost in the wilderness and they dropped off their coat or they dropped off their backpack or something. And so they searched out these things and mapped them. That would allow, once they came back with their map of these items, that then ground search and rescue people could go in and find the presumably lost camper or whatever it might be.
Excellent, excellent. So you're actually giving them hands-on training, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're also giving them simulator training as they get older in your process.
That is correct, and as you know, we're working on getting a full-motion simulator, which represents a number of different airplanes. There's different airplanes that can be programmed into it, to give these young men and women a hands-on practice before they even get in a real airplane. They will have a good aviation background in how to fly an airplane after they have learned what makes an airplane fly and so forth.
Absolutely. And I want to give a shout-out right now to a young man by the name of Brandon who just received his private pilot's license, did an excellent job With how many hours of experience did he have?
Fortunately, Brandon was one of my students. He's a young Air Force U-2 mechanic stationed at Beale Air Force Base. And he, this past Tuesday, he took his private pilot check ride and passed really with distinction. And he only had a total number of 45 hours of actual flight training, whereas the national average right now for a young person or a person to get their private pilot's license is about 73 hours, so substantially less than what the national average is.
Excellent, and congratulations, Brandon. Well done. Now, I want to go ahead and touch on an item that, you know, if you've been listening up until now, and it's kind of sort of been about technology, and you're saying, well, I thought this was the title of this was Christ Today. How does this apply? Well, the day and the hour that we live in, we need to go ahead and go back to the Old Testament, to prophecy. And there is a prophecy here about travel. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to quote from the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. And starting on verse 16, it says, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Okay? And you're saying, okay, well, how does that affect this? We're talking about the entire world going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles to worship the King of Hosts. And this is a prophecy, obviously, of the millennial reign, okay? After all the dust settles, everybody who has ever attacked Jerusalem, everybody who's left is going to have to travel to Jerusalem every single year for the annual Feast of Tabernacles. And how do you take the entire population of a state or a city or even a small town and get them all to Jerusalem halfway around the world in a effective and efficient way? You can't take ships. Ships aren't fast enough. Your productivity would drop too much. So we're talking about aviation being the travel which is going to allow entire populations to travel to Jerusalem every single year. My friends, aviation is not going away. Aviation is even going to be built up, according to Zechariah, it is going to build up so that every single nation has the opportunity to have air travel, this technology available to them, at least on an annual basis. So right now we're going to go ahead and break for just a moment. We'll pause for a commercial break and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Christ Today. This is Mike Davis. We want to go ahead and have a shout out to our sponsors. One of them is Pastor Ken Malone of New Life Church, which is at 965 Grand Avenue in Thermalito. He has worship services at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sundays. And we have right now with us Mr. Les Sanders, who is the one of the aviation instructors of the Corps Academy in Marysville. He is a certified flight instructor, and he is also the chairman of the Northern California Aviation Association, Northern California Aerospace Initiatives, I'm sorry. So, Les, welcome back to the show. And what we want to go ahead and do now is let's talk a little bit about your ministries for the church.
When I was a young individual going to school, I was raised up in a Christian family, and when I got away from home, and joined the military and other elements of life, I kind of got away from the Lord and from the Christian way of living. In 1986, some circumstances of my lifestyles arose that made me reach out to God and turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And since that time, I have tried diligently to live a Christian life and participate in Christian things that will not only help me, but hopefully will help others as well.
Very good. Now, you seem to have a gift in the Ministry of Transportation. So talk a little bit about what you do for Bible Baptist Church there on North Beale Road in Marysville.
I am a member of the Bible Baptist Church on North Beale Road in Marysville, and I'm involved in the bus ministry. The church has three buses that we run every Sunday morning and go over the town of Marysville and Linda and Olivehurst and pick up young kids, mostly kids, some adults, but mostly kids, and bring them to church. And then when church is over, we take them back home. And on my bus, I go the Olivehurst area, and typically the number of kids that ride the bus on any Sunday morning is somewhere between 35 and 70, depending what time of the year it is. Typically in the summertime, the attendance kind of dwindles a little bit because people are going on vacation and other things that involved in the summer months, but then that goes up in the winter. So I drive that bus every Sunday to transport these kids to and from church.
Now, is it kids only, or do you go all the way up to through the adult?
We have a few adults. It's mostly kids, but there's usually 5 to 10 adults on the bus as well.
So if anybody was looking to go to Bible Baptist Church, all they would have to do is figure out your schedule and where you actually stop and hook up with you.
Absolutely. We would be happy to bring anyone that wants to attend church.
Excellent, excellent. And so let me ask the question, how well behaved is everybody? They're going to church.
The kids, they're loud and noisy, as kids will be, because that's what kids do. But they are well-behaved kids, and they don't obviously don't get into mischief on the bus. They respect each other's privacy and so forth, and they don't hit or fight or other things that some kids tend to engage in. But they are a good bunch of kids and really happy to be part of that ministry.
Well, and one of the things that we want to talk about now is outreach. That's part of this show. Part of this show is to challenge our listeners to get involved in different ministries. So how did the bus ministry start?
Bible Baptist Church has been there for a number of years, dating back 35 years or so. And I'm not sure exactly who started the bus ministry, but in the last 15 years, it has been a very significant part of the church and a service that the church provides to provide transportation for young people as well as old, to give them, they might otherwise not be able to attend church because of any number of reasons. So with the bus, that gives them an opportunity to come and worship on Sunday and have a ride back home. And without that, they might not be able to attend church.
Well, I pass Bible Baptist almost every day when I go out to Beale Air Force Base, because it's right there on North Beale Road. And you have about 6 buses out front, if I count correctly. And that's a lot of resources there. How many buses do you actually have out? Do all of them go out?
Right now, we have 3 buses that run on Sunday. The bus ministry is growing, and Pastor Brown, who is the pastor of North Beale Baptist Church, is looking to expand the ministry, the bus ministry. So right now we have three, but I think within the coming year that'll be four or five. So we do have a number of buses. There's just three running at this moment.
So you have the Olivehurst route. What are the other routes?
One of the other routes is Marysville, and then the other route is Linda and what's that new housing development right there off of Beale Road?
Oh, is that Plumas Lake, or is that... oh, no, I know what you mean. Over by the Yuba College,
yes.
behind Yuba College. I'm not sure what the name of that...
I can't remember the name of it. But
housing and, is, but
yeah.
There's a ton of houses over there.
And that's the other route that we service.
And what a great ministry, because parents can trust that their kids are going to get to church and get back in one piece, because and that's a big trust that the parents are giving to you. But at the same time, you know, the kids can, you know, if the parents aren't able to get to church that particular day, it still gives them an avenue to get there. What's the youngest of the children that you have riding the bus?
We have children all the way down to kindergarten, you know, 4 or 5 years old, all the way through high school, and then, as we said earlier, usually a few adults that otherwise wouldn't have a means of getting to church, they ride the bus as well. So the age range is kind of all across the board.
Okay. So let's get practical here. I want to get practical here because I want these other churches that are in our listening area that is all over the Northern California area. I mean, we're heard all the way from just north of Rockland and Roseville all the way up to Red Bluff. That's the listening area right now, and we hope to get down into Sacramento eventually for KKXX. But the key to all of this is, if a church is sitting out there and saying, well, that's nice for them, you know, but we're a smaller church, we don't have that kind of resources, other things like that. So let me ask the question, who fixes the buses?
We have a one of the church members who is was a former firefighter and a mechanic for the Forest Service, and he is a member of the church, and he donates his time and his skills and everything to keep the buses running. He does all the service on them and repairs when they break down, so really a great contribution that gentleman provides for the bus ministry.
Excellent. And what kind of license requirement is there for the bus drivers?
To drive a bus in California, you have to have a Class A CDL, and you have to have a passenger or bus endorsement on your driver's license in order to drive a bus.
Okay, so that's pretty serious licensing requirement. How many bus drivers do you have?
Right now we have three active, including myself, and then we have two other people that's on standby that they can drive. They don't normally drive as a practice, but they can drive if they need to for if someone happens to be sick or can't make it.
Okay, so let's tone it down a little bit, because Bible Baptist has obviously been doing this for some time. They're a very mature bus ministry. Okay, how does somebody get started though?
I think that would be up to the pastor of the church and the congregation. If they were interested in starting a bus ministry, they could certainly contact me or Bible Baptist, and you get more details. But the buses we use are old surplus school buses that has been converted to our needs. And you can get an old 60 model school bus for relatively a small amount of money, you know, not a huge investment. And as a rule, they are pretty sound mechanically, because school buses don't get any real significant mistreatment when they were, you know, when they're servicing the school.
Absolutely, and especially a county vehicle, they have a regular, it's almost like aircraft maintenance, where they have regular inspections and regular maintenance requirements. So, yes, it's a pretty good tool. That's a very good resource to draw on. And that's, you know, so let me go ahead and share your numbers, or actually I'll let you share your numbers because you're more aware of how you would want to be contacted. Let's say some of our ministers out there wanted to go ahead and try and get a transportation ministry to, let's say, expand the opportunity for people to come to their church. How would they contact you?
Again, if you would like to contact me, I would be more than happy to help you get on the road to doing that. And I'm sure that Pastor Brown would also be interested in helping you get a bus ministry if that is something you would like to do. If you would like to contact me, my telephone number is 530-713-0819. That's 530-713-0819. And my email address is lsanders, S-A-N-D-E-R-S, at S-Y-I-X.com, 6.com.
Okay, excellent. So if anybody is looking to go ahead and have their own transportation ministry in their local area and not quite sure exactly what that entails, please go ahead and call Les, and we'll go ahead and, you know, at least have a conversation. At least start the conversation, because it really does expand your outreach to the local, in the local area. And now, how do you guys advertise this? Is it word of mouth by now, or do you continue to go out with advertisements saying, hey, you know, bring your friends? Or
we, every Saturday morning, we there's a group of church members that meet at the church, have a breakfast, and then we go out into the community on a soul-winning mission, and we visit homes all through the community, you know, bringing the word of God to the people, and also to invite them to come and be a member or be a participant of the church. And at that time, we also tell them if they don't have the means or the way to get to church, that we will come with the bus and pick them up.
Outstanding. How many people do you have on a regular Saturday?
Regular Saturday, it varies. You know, people, again, in the summertime, people's going on vacation, but anywhere from 10 to 20 people, somewhere in that range.
Excellent. Excellent. So, and then you just concentrate on a particular area every different Saturday?
Exactly. We go to different sections of town every Saturday and knock on people's door and try to spread the word of God.
What an outstanding outreach. That is so cool. And so how long have you been doing this?
I've been driving the bus for the last, this is 3 years I've been driving the bus.
Excellent. And the ministry, the Saturday ministry? Is that
That's been going on for many years. I don't know exactly when it started, but it's been many years.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I had no idea that Bible Baptist was doing that particular outreach. That is such a good ministry because it fits so well into the transportation ministry. It's like a very, the word that comes to mind is synergy, that one ministry actually supports the other ministry. And so what is, tell me a little bit about your ministry growth in this area. Is your population coming up from year to year? Is it bigger now than it was 3 years ago?
Absolutely. The membership of the church or the attendance of the church on Sunday morning service is somewhere in the area of 275 at Sunday morning service. And that has grown significantly over the last 3 years that I've been driving the bus. So it is growing, and I'm sure that it will continue to grow.
Excellent. So you're on North Beale Road. How many people do you have from the Air Force Base?
We have I don't know the exact number, but it's a fairly significant number. The young men and women that's in the military, many of them grew up in Christian homes, and they are, you know, they want to continue their path with God, and so they come to the church to worship with us.
Excellent, excellent. I just in the back of my mind, I'm wondering what the logistical problems would be with getting your bus ministry out onto the base.
We have talked about that, and to take a bus onto the base to pick up people, there's more hurdles than, if you're familiar with the military, there's more hurdles than one would want to think about. So unfortunately, we haven't been able at this time to do that, but maybe in the future that may be a reality.
I think you need to enlist maybe somebody from the Air Force Base that has a California Class A license. That's
yeah. It's some challenges to get a bus on the base.
Excellent. So let's go ahead and take another break real quick. And this is Christ Today with Mike Davis, and we have our guest today, Les Sanders, who is the certified flight instructor who is teaching. He's the aerospace instructor out at CORE, which is the Camptonville STEM Academy. And right now I'd like to go ahead and have another shout out to one of our other sponsors, Pastor Bill Hammond from Lighthouse Tabernacle on Ohio Street in Gridley, California. And we have a Sunday Bible study at 9:45 a.m. Service begins at 10:45, and we also have a 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday service and a 7 p.m. Wednesday service, midweek service, if you'd like to come and worship with us. We're going to go ahead and take just a moment for a pause. And welcome back to Christ Today. Again, welcome, Les Sanders. You are a certified flight instructor. Let's talk a little bit about flying. How did you get into flying?
I was always interested in flying from a very young age. I grew up in West Virginia, in the mountains of West Virginia. I'm an old hillbilly. And when I was growing up, my family didn't have very much money, and I could not afford to pursue aviation at a young age like we're offering to these young folks at CORE. But I got off into the construction field, and years went by. And in 1986, I turned my life over to God, and shortly thereafter, I started pursuing aviation because by that time I had enough financial resources to be able to afford to do it. And at that time also, I went back to college and got my bachelor's degree and pursued aviation, and I got my private and commercial and instrument and flight instructor, and I am also an airline transport rated pilot. So it was something I always wanted, but I didn't really have the means to do it until I was a little older.
So let's go back to your military experience. Where were you in the military?
I graduated from high school in 1960, went one semester to college, and wasn't applying myself very well, and I joined the military mid-year, joined the Army, and I was fortunate enough to get into the Army 5th Special Forces, paratrooper, and I served in Vietnam. And when I came back from the military, my enlistment was about up, and they asked me if I would re-enlist, that they would send me to helicopter school, with the understanding that as soon as I finished that, I was going back to Vietnam, and that so when the war was getting pretty intense, and I didn't really want to go back there, so I didn't take that opportunity.
Okay. So what did you do after the military?
Again, I was a heavy equipment mechanic, diesel mechanic for a lot of years, and like I said, in 1986, I decided I was tired of skinning up my knuckles and stuff, so I went back to school and I got my degree, and then I became a region manager for the Hertz Corporation, Hertz Equipment Rental, who rents heavy equipment construction machinery, and I stayed there until I retired.
Excellent. So let's talk about your home life in growing up a little bit in West Virginia. Did you come out of a Christian home?
I did. My father was a minister, and I had a very Christian upbringing. But like I said, when I got away from home and joined the military, and I kind of strayed off into the ways of the world, and fortunate for me, in 1986, that all turned around, and I got back on the right track with God.
So reach out and challenge some of our younger listeners about how important it is to develop their personal faith and not to rely on the faith of their parents.
That is so important that you have to establish your own personal relationship with God and seek His forgiveness for your sins, and then try to live a Christian life doing things that you know is right and avoiding those things that you know is wrong. And attending church is a very good way to keep on the right path in your Christian ministry.
That is so important. And it's so important to get that early in life, to get that foundation in life, because when young people get out into the world, there are going to be temptations. There are going to be challenges. There is, they don't call it warfare for nothing. They really do. There is a spiritual battle going on for our hearts and our minds, and we really need to be prepared when we walk out the door, especially young people, teenagers especially, when they start to, they're getting more and more freedom. As they're growing up, they're getting more and more control over their own calendars, over their own spending, over their own decision-making. How important is it for parents to go ahead and be monitoring some of these decisions and to be injecting Christian values into the decision-making that these folks are making as teenagers?
I think that is a very important element of the development of these young men and women, is the parental involvement and monitoring what your child is doing. What have they got on their cell phone or their computer? What sites on their computer are they visiting? And things like that. Because these are young, impressionable minds of these young folks that. They don't have the experience that us older adults have had, and some of it has been gained through the School of Hard Knocks. So it's very important to be a part of your child's life and get them a Christian background, attend church with them, take them to church, go to church with them, pray with them. These are the kind of things that will stick with them when they become adults and get out in the world, that they will not be so tempted to participate in the things of the world, but they will be more in tune with God and in the worship of God.
Absolutely, and being in tune with God, that's what God means in His word when He is speaking about listening for that still, small voice. When you start to get stray off, there will be a voice that says, no, that's the wrong way. You need to come back on the straight and narrow. The straight and narrow is really the path of righteousness. There is a legalism and there is a liberalism, and both are bondage. Both are bondage. It is the straight and narrow path that you're living up to God's expectations, because you're allowing God to call the shots. And when God is telling you, Let's not do this. Let's avoid this particular thing, this particular activity here. He is not trying to put you in bondage. He's trying to put you in freedom, because Jesus says, "Whoever sins is a slave to sin, is a captive to sin." And so, part of our decision making, as far as our honoring God with our calendars, honoring God with our entertainment, honoring God with our checkbooks, honoring God with the decisions, the day-to-day decisions that we're making, and even in the marketplace, the decisions that we make as a part of our business honors God or dishonors God, depending on whether it is a godly action or a godly reaction versus whether it is an ungodly action or an ungodly reaction. We need to go ahead and honor God by knowing His Word, knowing what His expectations are, and being sensitive to hear His small, His still small voice that is going to tell us how to apply what we already accomplished. So it is so important, and that's why we want to go ahead and we want to reach out to these teenagers while they're still getting active in their own decision-making and starting to be active in their calendars. And Les, I'm sorry, but I just have an unction right now to pray for our teenagers. So I'm going to take a minute and pray for our teenagers. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we know that this world is a dangerous, dangerous place spiritually. And Lord, we are praying now for our young listeners, those who are now beginning to deal with their own decision-making, those that are either honoring you or in many cases, neglecting you. And Father God, we pray, Lord, that they would seek to do honor by knowing your word, by listening to your still small voice, and honoring and lifting up your Son, Jesus Christ, by whom we are forgiven our sins and by whom we can attain freedom through his lordship of our lives. And Lord, we do pray that you, Lord, would empower each and every one of our listeners with the Holy Spirit. If they are Christians, they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Empower them by the Holy Spirit to overcome, to be overcomers, Lord, to know your word and rely on your word as the shield of faith and as the sword of the Spirit, which is your holy word, to defend themselves in this spiritual warfare. Let them be dressed in the full armor of God, and let them honor Jesus and lift him up in their daily lives and conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So thank you for your patience on that. And Les, let's go back to your own walk with the Lord. You say in 1986 that you really got a hold of God and God got a hold of you. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about where were you in 1986 when you came back to the Lord?
In 1986, I was living in Phoenix, Arizona. I had, like I said, I was involved in the construction trade and the mechanics of heavy equipment. My Christian upbringing had, as a young person, had went away, and I had drifted off into the ways of the world, alcohol, and all of the other things that go along with that, and it just brought me to the place where I could no longer continue on the path that I was on. Something had to happen, and I just asked God to come into my life and forgive me for the sins that I had done. And he did, and I have tried ever since that day to live a Christian life.
Tell me about some of the workplace challenges of your newfound faith.
How did most people know that the construction trade tends to be made up of shall we say, rough characters, if you will, using profanity and consuming alcohol and adultery and all these other things that seems to be associated with it. And that's not truly just solely a construction. That can spread out to all walks of life. But Unfortunately, I got involved in that and almost lost my life because of it.
Well, and yes, there's a lot of testimonies around of where the Lord had to bring us basically to the cliff where we had to decide: are we going to go over the cliff, or are we going to turn our life over to the Lord? And I would like to speak now to any of our listeners out there: if you are facing the cliff, and don't jump, do not allow life to drag you over the cliff. Turn your life over to God, because it is never too late to call out to Him. He is a gracious God. The Scripture says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So we want to make sure that our listeners understand that no matter where you are not out of reach of God. God says that His arm is not too short to save. And He takes, according to Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel 18, He says that I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I think He says that in Ezekiel 18, and He may repeat that. I'm not sure. He may repeat that in Ezekiel 33. It's either that or Jeremiah. Anyway, the Lord says that He takes no death no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's not pleasing God at all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. So, and that's why Jesus came to the cross. We have to understand that Jesus has already paid for our sins, and He's already made a way for us to escape from that life of sin. So if anybody out there is suffering from an addiction, if they're suffering from that lifestyle that they know that they're near the edge of the cliff, we need to stop. We need to stop, and we need to turn our life over to God before it is too late. And so you're in construction, you're in the middle of Arizona. What brought you to California?
In 1988, I had an opportunity to go to work for the Hertz Corporation in their heavy equipment rental division. And in order to pursue that career, I had to come to California. Burbank, California is where I originally started for the Hertz Corporation. From there, I was transferred over to Salt Lake City. I spent about 3 years in Salt Lake City, and then was transferred to Sacramento, where I remained until I retired.
Okay. And just as a finish, just to finish up a point earlier, it is Ezekiel 18:32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, with the Lord, saith the Lord God, wherefore turn yourselves and live. So you're flowing around for Hertz in heavy construction, and eventually 1986 comes along, you're turning your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you're getting some certifications in flight. Talk a little bit about your aviation career.
I actually started flying when I returned from Vietnam and got out of the military in 1965. That's when I started. And as I mentioned earlier, I didn't have a lot of funds. I was married and had a child. And just financially, I was unable to pursue it. And I kind of got away from aviation until actually in the early 90s, about 1990 is when I really got back into it and got all my instructor rating and all that stuff. So it was a desire that I always had, but I was limited because of the ability to support it financially.
Absolutely, and that's a point that I want to get back to the NCAI, okay? We have just a couple minutes here, and I'd like to make a plug for the NCAI. The Northern California Aerospace Initiative is a nonprofit organization, okay? And its sole purpose was to develop an organization that had and could get the resources donated to it to help with the high cost of flight training. The goal of this is so that the NCAI can help to train these high school and community college students up to a point where they can fly as a career, that through their education and through their training, the NCAI would not pay for all of it, but a portion of the training, with the idea that hopefully a future contract with a regional airline would include the regional airline paying for a part of the student debt in order, or rather in exchange for a career requirement, requirement to work, much as the military does with the and the DOD does with the it's a service commitment. That's what it is. I'm going brain dead here. So the service commitment to that regional airline would pay in part for the in exchange for a portion of that student loan that was accrued during the high cost of this training. The idea being that by doing this, people can get into a career that they would not normally be able to afford. And the NCAI, now that they have their nonprofit status, we are actually reaching out for help with that ministry, because it's so important that these good jobs be available to the Christian community. It is the Christian community that should be having these well sought after jobs. Being an aircraft mechanic and being a aircraft pilot, especially a commercial pilot, is a very, very good job to have these days. And so that's what we're seeking. We're seeking support both for the NCAI and through the different charter schools. We're seeking these very, very good career opportunities for the Christian community. So, Les, we're getting really, really close to the end of our show. Would you go ahead and take us out with a prayer, please?
Thank you, Mike. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet here and to speak on the radio and pass your word to those who are listening, that they may come to you and turn their life over to you, that you will reward them handsomely for their service to you, dear Father. We pray that you will be with us in the remainder of this day, and you'll guide us and direct us in the right way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.